Welcome to Empowered Radio. I am your host, Emma Montgomery, an online nutrition and fitness coach and creator of Shred With Em. Each week, we'll talk all things nutrition, training, and mindset. You'll be able to take my tips and strategies and apply what you learn to see results with both your body and your mind. So without further ado, let's jump into the episode. What's up, guys, and welcome back to the show. Today, we are going to talk about weight loss plateaus and really dive into what a plateau is, what's causing it, my order of operations in terms of determining if we have really hit a plateau, and if so, then how we can adjust our calories and macros to continue our fat loss journey. So when we talk about a plateau, we are really looking at a couple of things. So making sure that you're using multiple tracking metrics when you are assessing your progress. So if you're only weighing yourself one time a week, and that is the only unit of measure that you are using to track your progress, I would say that it's not going to be as accurate. So I would suggest taking measurements weekly or at least biweekly, and then also weighing yourself multiple times a week, at least three times a week, and using that weekly average and comparing that week over week. I personally weigh myself daily and I look at the weekly average and I look at that week over week. And that is what I do with one-on-one clients as well. So from there, we are looking at to determine if it is a plateau. Have measurements decreased and has weight stalled for a minimum of 2 weeks? So let's say that weight has stalled for 2 weeks, but you're still seeing a decrease in measurements. That's okay. I would hold tight, hang right where you're at. Because a lot of times you'll see loss in measurements and then it takes your body a week or so to catch up and you'll see a whoosh on the scale and the scale will catch up with where you are in terms of measurements. So you really want to make sure that you are hitting the box on both of those, that measurements have not decreased, they're not moving at all, and that weight loss has stalled on the scale for 2 weeks. So things to consider and my order of operations, my checklist that I go through to see if we have really, truly hit a plateau. So the first thing is, are you consistently hitting your macros and calories? The answer is no. Then I think you already know. If you're being inconsistent, of course, you can't expect to see great progress. So we're not going to adjust anything. But let's just say that you say, yes, I've been consistently hitting my macros and calories. Then we'll go on down the list. Are you measuring food accurately? So this is a common mistake I see when people think that they have plateaued. It's actually a lot of human error when we are measuring our food accurately. So common mistakes that people make are eyeballing serving sizes. So again, instead of measuring or weighing out a serving of peanut butter, they're eyeballing it and assuming, not tracking things like cooking oil or butter that they cook their foods in, or if they're eating out, they're not accounting for those things when they're logging their food. Not tracking things like dressings on salads, condiments, alcohol, even things like coffee creamer. So that one may not sound like a big deal, but if you've got coffee creamer that's 30 to 50 calories, and some people have a heavy hand when they're pouring that in there, and you could be talking about 100 extra calories a day in things like coffee creamer, condiments, salad dressings, oil or butter, and it could be multiple hundreds of calories if you've got all of those things in just a day. So all of those things are super important to make sure that we're accounting for those and that we are weighing and logging those accurately. Other things I see are, of course, not tracking meals or even whole days. So tracking through the week and not tracking the weekend. So that is huge with inconsistency. Getting too flexible and eating out too much. So obviously, yes, you can eat out. And yes, there are tons of restaurants that have their nutrition facts listed online. But spoiler alert, you are not the one that is in the kitchen weighing and measuring the food that goes in your Chipotle burrito bowl. So even though a scoop of chicken is supposed to be 4 ounces, somebody might give you a bigger scoop. Somebody else might give you a smaller scoop. Again, there's no way of knowing that that is exactly 4 ounces, even though you're logging what is listed online. It could still be more food than what you are accounting for. So cutting down on eating out, if you're somebody who eats out a lot, will help with accuracy. Also making sure that your diet really follows the 80-20 rule. So 80% of your food is whole foods, things that either walked on the earth at one point or grew from the earth. Those are going to be far more accurate. Food labels can round. I believe it's up to 20%. So packaged foods, again, even though you are scanning the label, those can still be inaccurate up to a certain amount. So again, making sure that the majority of your food is whole foods will help with the accuracy as well. And then using things like a medium apple or a medium banana versus weighing out the fruit or vegetable, and then weighing meat cooked but logging it raw. And I get tons of questions on this. So what I'm going to do for you guys is link in the show notes the MyFitnessPal tracking guide that I've created for my clients. Super helpful. It's got tons of little tips and tricks and hacks for MyFitnessPal, but I also explain the difference in weighing and logging your food cooked versus raw. So of course, if at all possible, I would weigh it raw and log it raw. But if you're cooking in bulk, just keep in mind that when you are cooking meat, it loses moisture, so it is going to shrink. So if you are weighing out 4 ounces of cooked chicken and logging that in MyFitnessPal off of the Tyson label that says 4 ounces, that Tyson label is for 4 ounces of raw chicken. You're logging that you are eating 4 ounces of raw chicken when in actuality you're eating 4 ounces of cooked chicken, which is going to be more like 5.5 ounces of raw chicken once you account for that moisture. So I'm not trying to get too deep in the weeds there. Again, I will link in the show notes the MyFitnessPal tracking guide. It's got examples in there and shows you how you can account for that loss of moisture. But that one is a big one I see and can, again, add up to, you know, 50 to 100 calories a day. And over the course of a week, we're talking 500 to 700 calories in things that we're logging inaccurately. So human error is one of the most common mistakes that I see when people think that they have plateaued in weight loss, and it's more that they are just logging incorrectly or eating out too much and estimating too much. The next one would be, are you hitting your daily movement goal? So when you start a dieting phase, I highly recommend having a daily movement goal in just setting a daily step goal. So for me and my clients, we have daily step goals, and we use this to make sure that each week that we are hitting that same goal. So the idea is to not slip below whatever that goal might be. If it's 10,000 steps, that's what we want to hit each week on average. So the reason is because when you are dieting, your body will do anything possible to conserve energy. So it will do, it tries to decrease your NEAT, which is non-exercise activity thermogenesis. And it does this through ways like talking slower, blinking slower, sitting versus standing. Say you were outside pulling weeds, and instead of crouching down to do it, you might sit on your butt. So when you're in a calorie deficit, your body is trying to do anything it can to conserve energy. So it will do all of those things to burn less calories. And because the calories that are coming in are lower, and it knows this. So when it's trying to conserve energy and burn less calories because of this, your body will naturally move less. So that's why having that step goal is so important, so that you make sure that you're keeping your daily movement where you had it to begin with and that it doesn't fall below that. So again, making sure that you're hitting that daily movement goal, and that it's not declining week over week. And then next would be, was your last adjustment less than 2 weeks ago? So this one is really, it takes your body time to adapt to the calories. So if you just had an adjustment a week ago, I would say give it another week, make sure that you're being consistent, and give it a full 2 weeks at those macros before considering making any adjustments. And then for women, are you close to your menstrual cycle? Sorry, guys. But for us women, when it is time for our cycle and we are approaching our cycle, we will generally retain water and bloat. And so, of course, that will lead to an increase on the scale and likely measurements. So if you're close to your cycle, don't jump the gun and think that you are gaining fat. I would allow some time for your cycle to pass and then assess your progress. But yeah, that one's a big one for women because it can, when you know, your weight jumps 2 pounds in a week and you want to have a little freak out over it, just keep that in mind if you are close to your cycle, that that is very common for most women to see that. So if we go through and we are looking through that whole checklist and we know that we have been consistent with hitting our macros and our calories, we're measuring our food accurately, we're not eating out that often, we've hit our daily movement goal, we have not had an adjustment in less than 2 weeks, so it's been over 2 weeks since our last adjustment, and we're not close to our cycle, then I would say it's time for an adjustment to your macros and calories. So what I recommend doing here is a 5% decrease to overall calories, and you're going to pull that from carbs and fat. So your protein should never really decrease. It's always going to be from carbs and fat. And really, it's a preference, ultimately making sure that fat is in a good place for hormonal health. You don't want your fat to get too low. But if you're an athlete or you're somebody that prefers carbs, you might just want to pull from fat, or you might want to do a combination of fat and carbs. Again, at the end of the day, it's going to be preference and what you can adhere to. But we're going to take a 5% decrease from fat and or carbs. And so an example would be if you are someone dieting on 1500 calories, a 5% decrease to that would be 75 calories. So you could ideally shave 10 grams of carbs. So carbs are worth 4 calories per gram. So if you took away 10, that would be 40 calories from the 75. And then you could take away 4 grams of fat. So fat is 9 calories per gram. So that would be 36 calories with the 40 calories from carbs. So that would be a 76 calorie pull from your 1500. And then again, that would be 10 grams of carbs, 4 grams of fat. You're going to leave your protein the same. So that's how I would approach that. So then I would give those new numbers at least 2 weeks. With being consistent and hitting those. If you're not seeing anything really moving, you might need to pull another 5%. Some people's bodies are more resilient to fat loss and need more aggressive pulls. Other people can do really great with the 5%. So you're not going to know what works for you until you experiment. So again, start with the 5%. If you need to pull again, I would still give it the full 2 weeks of being consistent to determine that. But really it is going through that order of operations and making sure that first and foremost that you have been consistent, because there is no macro adjustment that can make up for lack of consistency. So if you are someone who again is tracking during the week and not the weekends, maybe you are logging inaccurately, you're eating out a ton, eating a lot of packaged foods. Again, tighten those things up before you go to slash calories, because the majority of the time it is going to be human error or inconsistency that is causing the weight loss to stall, not so much that you have plateaued just yet. So again, I'm going to link in the show notes for you guys the MyFitnessPal tracking guide that I have created for our clients. And then I'm also going to put the link for the coaching, one-on-one coaching application. So if you're somebody who has been struggling with your fat loss journey, or you're needing to reverse diet, whatever that looks like, you need help reaching your goals and you need the help of professionals and you need additional accountability, we would love to help you out. So I'm going to link that in the show notes for you guys. But again, I hope that this is helpful. I hope for those of you who think you have plateaued that this makes you rethink and really look at where you could have missed the boat on something. So if this episode was helpful or resonated with you in some way, please let me know. Shoot me a message on Instagram, Facebook, whatever it is, but let me know if you found value in this episode. And I will talk to you guys again next week. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Empowered Radio. If you enjoyed the episode or found value in it, could you do me two quick favors? One, take a screenshot and post it to your social media and tag me in it so I can say thanks. And two, could you subscribe to the podcast and leave a 5-star rating and review in iTunes? It would mean the world to me. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode.